Carlo Vasesi, thank you for coming to talk to me. Now, you're Carlo sometimes, and you're Vinny
other times.
And sometimes you're Carlo Vinny, Vinny Carlo.
Yes, one.
Always Vasesi, though.
Always Vasesi. Yeah, the first name is depends on are you family or are you law enforcement. But that's how I usually divvy up the two names.
Right. Which is which? I want to know which side I'm on. Are you Vinny? Because I usually call you Vinny.
Now, technically speaking, nickname is Vinny. My real name is Carlo. But ultimately, it's up to the individual, whichever one you choose at that moment.
You answer to anything.
I don't care.
Hey, you.
Yes. It's the policy I have adopted is I don't care what you call me, as long as you call me.
Just call me.
I told you that before. So.
Now, do you think of yourself as a filmmaker?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, you make films.
Yeah.
You direct them?
I have yet to make a feature film.
Right.
I made plenty of short films and I direct commercials and things, but the goal, the holy grail, is with any filmmaker, is usually always a feature. I have yet to do one, but working on it.
Right, yeah. Oh, yeah, and you'll always be working on,
yep.
If not the first one, the second one, the third one.
That would be the goal, yeah.
But now you're also a cinematographer, a DP, director of photography?
Sure, I shoot independent films as well. I very much enjoy shooting. I very much want to try and keep my nose to the grindstone when it comes to directing, but cinematography pulls me away for my friends and for other filmmakers from time to time, so I really do love that as well.
Now, do you make your living shooting?
No, absolutely not. That I do not do.
Okay.
I have too many friends who are cinematographers out there that are making their living shooting. So I don't want to compete against them and swim in that pool. That's their pool to swim in when it comes to making a living at it. But for the most part, in the independent film world, it's easier for me to jump in and shoot because not too many people make their living at that, especially here in the Midwest.
Right.
So because the funds aren't there, for people to really pay their gas bill on shooting independent films.
Yeah, I mean, everybody in the film industry, it seems to me, and I've worked with a lot of the professionals, most of the ones I think that are in Milwaukee and even in Madison with Mike Graff and people like that, they get beans and rice to their face by gaffing, shooting, directing commercials, industrials of some sort.
Yeah, actually someone just said to me the other day, they put it... they phrased it in a way I never really kind of thought of it, which was they were asking me about the same question that you just asked me, and they pretty much said that basically when I say I just work on commercials and things like that to pay the bills, right? And then you do the independent film work on the side, which really doesn't pay the bills. That feeds the soul, right? So they said basically I work on like commercials and things of that nature to monetize my desires of filmmaking.
Right.
And so if I can pay some bills and still be, quote-unquote, filmmaking in some way with commercials and whatnot, then I can at least apply the skill sets that I have and earn a living from that. But then a lot of the soulful, creative stuff is in the independent film world, and that's a lot of fun for me. So,
could you put a, not a monetary value, but a percentage value on how much of your energy, your creative energy, goes to... Because your creative energy goes into when you shoot a commercial or direct a commercial,
Of course,
too.
Yeah, of
It's
course.
All creative.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
But the soulful, what percentage of your energy goes into the, as you said it, called it, the soulful work, the soul work?
Well, yeah, I always apply everything I got to the commercials, to the business side of it, just so that I can... So people will still keep calling me. I can't phone it in,
Right.
Nor would I want to. I try to find a way to enjoy my work on every day so I can get up with a smile on my face and go to bed with a smile on my face.
Yeah, no, I've worked with you a lot, and I've seen you, when you're, whether you're gaffing or doing craft service or whatever you're doing, but you're an artist, so you commit yourself to the project.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
But how much independent film do you get to work on?
Yeah, how much can you stick in between trying to pay the bills? That's a very good question. There's short films are usually, plentiful. Well, more and more. Over the last 10 years, people are just doing more and more stuff. This town is growing, and filmmakers are coming out of the schools, and I'm meeting new filmmakers. And then people that graduated with me are kind of coming around to making short films here and there. It's kind of this big soup that's kind of flowing. So I'll get asked, hey, do you want to come shoot this? Or right. hey, do you want to come direct that? Or whatever. And it's great. It's great to be able to be in that position to so that I can choose, but I can't choose. You know, I can only choose so many to so that I
there
can still pay the bills.
Hours in the day.
Yeah, and I have to be able to not get divorced. And so my
that's
so
right.
It'd be nice if
you were an incredibly patient wife.
Oh my God! Yeah, obviously a saint of some sort.
Shit.
Has gone above and beyond, much more than I would have wanted her to. So, right. So I got to pay attention to that too, and I want to pay attention to that because that's part of my life, and I love that. So it's this juggling, balancing act,
right?
Which is fun and is part of the just part of the game.
But in a way, one could say, I mean, how fortunate you are to have to juggle. I mean, to have much to do.
I am incredibly lucky and on right. so many levels, and I'm very thankful for all of that every day, and it helps me keep my rose-colored glasses on.
Yes. And they look good on you, too.
Thank you.
Now, you mentioned when you got the people you went to school with. You went to school at UWM, correct?
Yep.
At the film school there.
Yep, graduated with a film degree in 94, December of 94. So I graduated with a group of filmmakers that have continued to make films themselves.
And have continued to stay in this environment in the Milwaukee area?
Yeah, many of them have. Some have moved on.
Right.
You know, usually people get out of film school and, I mean, back then, many people split for the coasts,
right
to try
that's
and,
where the industry was
yep.
in the 90s and
yep.
still in a way is perceived to be there, even though I think it's all over the place now.
Yeah, correct. But it's definitely more. People now can make a living in the film and video business for the most part practically anywhere.
Right.
Choosing to be in the bigger markets might afford you more opportunities, or at least it might afford you the chance to get on bigger projects and so on and so forth. You also open yourself up to a lot more competition,
right.
very cutthroat. It just depends on what you're willing to stomach and take, and also where do you want to live. I chose to stay here because I love the Midwest. I love Milwaukee. I have a very large family and
born
many
and raised
friends.
Milwaukee.
Yeah,
the family's all here.
I don't want to leave that. I value that too much.
Right.
So, I wondered, could I make a living in film and video here, right after school? And back in 1994, right away, I started getting work, and it was very obvious. Yes, I can do this. I can make a go of it. I can raise a family and be in the film business and live here.
Right.
That's
and 94, that was almost 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Was that a unique class, the class that you came out of? Or has every class from UWM Film School produced people? Was Tate in your class, Tate Bunker?
That's a good question. No, Tate,
or was he
I
around?
Think, was after me.
Okay.
I think he was after me because he came up from Florida, I believe.
Right.
But, that class was, there's different crops that come out of school.
Right.
And there's some crops that come out and everybody just scatters to the winds.
Right.
And the particular group that I was with, most of them did stay in town and most of them have successful film and video careers.
Right.
So that was a little bit unique. I haven't really observed that myself till recently, till within the past 5 years or so. Now
right.
I'm seeing people come out of the schools, and I'm seeing them stay here and get jobs here
right.
and work here, which is great.
Good.
It
is great because there is...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's your what I think of as your generation, which
mm-hmm.
is certainly not an old generation.
Old enough.
Yeah. And getting older.
Yes.
Sorry.
It's life.
but I keep wondering where the new generation is. And I meet some of them when I work in the business around here. And some good ones and some ones that are okay talented and good craftsmen.
Sure.
It seems to be a school that creates really good craftspeople. They really know their way around the camera, they know a way around a set, they know their way around lighting.
Yeah. Well, and MATC too now. They've come online and
right.
in such a great way, and they've produced I think, filmmakers and students that have come out that like in the past, they back in, you know, in my time, the film and video wasn't a big, didn't have a huge push at MATC.
Right.
Not as much as UWM, which had a quote-unquote film school, and they were in the top, at the time, they were in the top 10 film schools in the United States. Now they're in the top 20. But in the past 5-6 years, MATC has come on so strong and is definitely, and works in conjunction with UWM to a certain degree on offering a film and video curriculum where, I don't know if it's students can go back and forth or whatnot. I know that there's synergy there or something, that they are working together in some capacities. And especially with animation, they do a lot more animation over there.
That's what I was going to say. They have a lot more animation. They have, I'm told, one of the top CGI computer graphics imaging facilities or
motion capture.
That's what it, in a teaching institution in the whole
absolutely.
Country.
Absolutely. Yep. It's right.
Which
up
is
the
a
top.
Slightly different focus, because UWM's focus always in the past has seemed to be on experimental film.
Correct.
Now I'm told that they're trying to move towards narrative a little bit more.
Yeah. They've
do you
opened,
teach there or you don't teach?
I don't. I've filled in for Tate every now and then. Okay. He's asked me to sub for him, which has been great fun. Yeah, no, it's they've opened up and they've grown as a school. They focused on what they did best back in the time when I was there, which was avant-garde filmmaking, and they were known for it, and that's why they were in the top 10, because they were the only school to offer such a focused curriculum of avant-garde filmmaking. Now they are much more in tune with, and I think a lot of it has come from the recession and the economic times that people are very much concerned about coming out of school and being able to get a job. Parents are more concerned about their students going to college and coming out with something that will allow them to get a job and make a living. And so
it's hard to make a living scratching on film.
It's I would imagine.
Now, so you've worked in Milwaukee in the industry since you graduated, and probably were working before you graduated. So have you seen, can you articulate a change in the environment for film? And I've noticed a change since I've been here for only 13 years when the film incentives were an actual fact here. With state, there's the incentives that the state legislature passed set the bar very high for everybody in the country.
Yeah.
And then that kind of fell away.
Yeah, it did, and that was sad, of course, as most people in the business would like to see that come back. It will only help.
Right.
It will only help bring in business from the outside, and it will also help filmmakers on the inside. You know, so it's a good thing. It's a win-win for all of us, and what we feel is the business of the state. When it becomes a priority to them, who knows when that'll be.
Right. The political economic situation.
It is what it is.
And the early days of that incentive was, I believe, misguided in that it focused more, turned its back on Milwaukee, on the Wisconsin filmmakers somewhat, to focus just on the coasts and bringing big budget pictures in, whereas the place to nurture is to nurture the people who have already chosen to live here and make films.
Yes, absolutely. I will say this, though. My viewpoint from before incentives to right now, right here, sitting right here, has always really kind of been the same in that, hey, if we have the incentives, that's great. There's all these pros and benefits, and it's wonderful. But we're saddled without the incentives now, and a lot of people are mad and angry and down about that, and I understand that 100%. But that doesn't change my viewpoint on, am I going to stop making films? Am I going to stop being a part of filmmaking in this town and just be mad and I'm not doing nothing till the incentives? No, of course not.
Right.
I mean, I'm not stopping anything that
so
I'm
you're
doing.
Still,
ever.
You're still working.
Oh,
you're
absolutely.
Still making films.
They don't hinder you from making films. We didn't have them before and we were making movies.
Right.
So to me, it's like, I get it and we should push for it. Yes, 100%. But there are some viewpoints and thoughts where I hear people that they say, well, without these incentives, it's impossible. It's not impossible.
Right.
You just go out and do it the way you did it before.
Right. No, I mean, it's certainly not. Since the incentives went south, I've made at least one or two features and several shorts here as an actor.
Sure.
So people are making them.
Yeah.
It's happening.
Yeah. Yeah, they have to. You know, it hasn't just dried up. At least I haven't seen it. In fact, I've only seen it. It just keeps growing because more and more people are doing stuff.
Well, that's what I was gonna, why do you think it does? Because it does seem to keep growing. The Milwaukee Film Festival, the Wisconsin Film Festival, which just ended recently, both seem to be growing and burgeoning. More and more films, more and more filmmakers coming, more venues. Something's nurturing it. Something's helping it grow.
Yeah.
Any idea? Is it these generations that are coming out of UWM and coming out of MATC? And there's a couple of film schools in Madison too.
I would say it's infinitely more popular filmmaking now. Well, there's a whole ton of contributing factors, and from my viewpoint, my layman's humble viewpoint is. You have a lot of things coming together all at once. You have the mass amount of cheaper, more affordable film and video equipment that allows you to create a more higher production valued image. Right. So now people can take their digital SLR that they can buy at Best Buy, and they can create an image that is somewhat similar to what a 35mm filmed classic movie image was, and still is. They can get close with much cheaper, affordable tools.
Right.
So that's great. Now everybody can go out and make things that look better than what they could in the past.
And you don't have to have a $12,000 dolly to move it around on.
Absolutely not. You can buy these cheaper, more affordable tools that will allow you to infuse production value.
And you can edit on a laptop.
So yeah, all that stuff combined with the insatiable hunger for media, for content on the internet.
Right.
The internet is just gobbling. YouTube is filled with however many billions of hours of, I will say, material. I would choose that word. Yeah. Material, right?
That ever the diplomat.
People are, yes, are uploading, which is great. I'm not trying to say they shouldn't or whatnot, but I mean, really, in the end, it's great. It's wonderful to have cheaper tools to put into people's hands quicker so that they can create more things. But what does it all just lead you to, and in the end, and bring you right back to is the bottom line is, if you don't have a good story, you don't have a good script, which is, I don't care how many tools, from typewriter to a laptop, it's still creating the words and creating a script that's engaging and interesting on so many levels that's the blueprint, right? Is your material that you're creating going to be good?
Right.
You can create it, can have all kinds of production value in the end, and now more people can do it, and they are doing it. But are they creating something good? Well, you got to go back to the script for that.
Right.
So students are able to publish things and get things out there in front of people cheaper, quicker, easier, and young filmmakers are. And that's wonderful. And that's what's creating a lot of interest and buzz in the film schools, the local film schools, and abroad and around the country. I think they're having a boom because people want to do it because they can. And it is fun. It is.
Right.
It's enjoyable.
No, like Screen Actors Guild calls it new media. The new media is, it is.
Sure.
It's this, perhaps an abyss that we're just throwing stuff into.
Yeah.
But some stuff will float to the top.
Oh, yeah.
Is the Holy Grail still a feature film?
Well, some people will say no. Some people will say there are new avenues and new end games, right? Like end games now can be webisodes and things like that. Now, are you able to monetize that and make money off it? Are people doing that? Yes, they are. It's new, so it's challenging on how to figure that out.
Right.
But it's a new avenue, right? I think, there's that. Along with webisodes, obviously something we've seen a huge boom in the last 15 years has been the original series, right? Remember when HBO used to just show movies,
right?
And then they started with their original series.
Right.
That's now exploded. Now everybody, AMC, everyone's got an original series, and it's great. People love it. They love these new original series that are coming out.
And I have to say, from an actor's point of view, and I don't know from a crafts person point of view, but from an actor's point of view, that's a great place to work
because
so much more time and more. Time gives you an opportunity to create detail, to create a character, to find an arc, to be surprised by the arc, where the arc goes, where the writers take you.
You know what you just said is, I'm actually coming. I'm having like an epiphany, but you know, I am having an epiphany
right now.
the last probably month.
Right.
I shouldn't say that. But maybe it's a little bit longer than 6 months. But the bottom line is, for me, it has always been the feature film has been the Holy Grail.
Right.
Because I want to do one. Right. I'm anxious. I've been trying to get
it's
there.
It's what we grew up on.
Yeah, it's what we grew up on. So
Apocalypse Now.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Why not? So that's my personal goal. I totally recognize all these other these venues and possibilities, webisodes and original series and whatnot, and I think they're wonderful, wonderful outlets. But I was still kind of like laser focused on the feature. Well, for the first time, I heard too much good stuff about an original series out there that so many people say, oh my God, you gotta watch it, you gotta watch it, you gotta watch it. And for my opinion, me and my wife, we don't really watch tons of TV.
Right.
Whenever it is, for our enjoyment, our entertainment, media consumption, we go to the movies.
Right.
We live close to the Oriental and the Downer. Hey, what should we do tonight? Let's go see a movie, right?
Right.
And so we usually try to do that. That's just us. That's who we are.
Yeah.
But somebody said, I'll just tell you what the series was. It was Breaking Bad.
I
said, try Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
And I tried it with a little bit of all right, let's see what this is all about. Prove it. Of course, it proved it to me, and we're completely sucked in. Oh, yeah, and we're watching it and enjoying it, and I'm looking at it in a light that I never looked at it for. Like, when I was a kid, I watched Star Trek, and I watched all those shows, and it was great, but I always regarded them just as, like, TV, and there was the definitive line between TV and movie. And for me, Breaking Bad, again, I know there's been a million of them, Boardwalk Empire, blah, blah, blah. I'm just telling you, this is the one that I happen to watch.
Right.
That's the one that first really broke the ground for me and was like, okay, it's not TV. Exactly. It's this whole other thing. And being able to watch a story and the characters develop over that amount of time, I have to admit, was like, that's awesome.
With the kind of production values
that
they have. And when you talk about production, and you mention Boardwalk Empire, Game of Thrones,
yeah,
the production values on some of those things are phenomenal.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was like really shocked. It's like a whole new thing to me. Like, wow. So now, I have to admit, we haven't gone and seen a movie in quite a while because we've been trying to catch up through Breaking Bad.
Right.
So that's a great avenue. I guess the whole point of that is, look at that whole thing. There's a whole other avenue for filmmakers to really strive for.
Right.
Maybe their goals are going to be, I want to create an original series. I'm not so much interested in a movie. I want to create an original series or what have you. And there's so much more material to mine from. The graphic novel, obviously, has now found its way from, it used to go to movies. People would take graphic novels, turn them into movies. Now they're being turned into original series like Walking Dead and whatnot.
Right.
So,
and the time will come, I suspect, soon. I mean, there was, in terms of webisodes, there was Dr. Horrible's that Joss Whedon made, that's really kind of brilliant and sort of broke a lot of ground. And nobody's quite matched that yet, but the time will come when that... I mean, they're already writing... Poets are using Twitter in France to write poetry.
Yeah, sure.
And they're even writing novels, 140 characters at a time.
Wow.
People are doing that.
Didn't even know that.
Yeah, no, I mean, this new media, these new things that we have are more than just gags and gimmicks. It's not just bell-bottom pants, and I think it's evolving. I'll bet you that in 5 years, I'll probably have to do it, will write a commentary on a webisode that puts it in the same paragraph with Lolita.
Sure.
Or with Apocalypse Now, or with one of The Godfather, one of the great...
Yeah. Of course. You're right. I believe that 100%.
Because of the production values you can get, the vision.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think it's... It's
certainly.
All this new stuff is a positive thing.
It certainly is. Yep. And it certainly feeds the growing community of filmmakers that are coming out, obviously, within the United States, but locally, they see that and it's feeding that whole thing. I think it's all completely... good. I don't think people are starving out there. At least that's not my viewpoint. From my standpoint,
right.
I think we're at a very, very good time for the birth of some of these new things and for these new filmmakers to really enjoy that and revel in it.
Right.
You know, at least that's my opinion.
Yeah. No, that's good. Are you making the trailer? Do you know yet if you're making the trailer for...
Yep.
Because you always have made these brilliant, wonderful trailers for the Milwaukee Film Festival.
Yeah, along with a lot of other people that have worked on it. Local filmmakers have all pitched in for it. I probably take the blame for asking them to give up free time. So I'll take that. The credit is blame.
Well, one of the reasons I've sometimes, in a jocular way, but in a sincere way too, referred to you as the mayor of Milwaukee filmmaking, or St. Vinny, sometimes in different conversations, is because you always will. You'll pitch in and do the craft service, or you'll be a gripper, you'll be a gaffer, and you understand as well as any filmmaker that I've worked with in Hollywood or New York or here that it's a collaborative media and that we all pitch in and we all do something.
I mean, the sponsor trailer is one that is done for creative reasons, because they're so free and open, they let us filmmakers pretty much do whatever we want.
Right.
They've been so kind to us on that level, and in return they're very thankful for the amount of time and effort and equipment that is donated to that project, to help bring production value to it. But then also beyond that, it's also to support the festival, which is something we want to do. Even the older generation, it's a great way for a lot of the older guys like me to interface with a lot of the younger kids coming out, and we all get together and have a good time. And we do it all for a good cause, for the film festival, so at the end of the day, you can't help but feel good on like every level. It's such a good feeling to do that, and I'm very lucky that they continue to want me to do it.
Just for clarification, though, you've referred to yourself in that last paragraph as the older generation, and I have too, trying to be in a funny way. But you are in an age where you're really just hitting your stride as a filmmaker. You should be, anyway.
I feel that way.
Yeah.
I feel that way.
It's a young man's business, but you're still a young man in this business.
Yeah, I feel, the experience, I guess the reason why I would agree with that is just because I feel confident in the amount of experience that I've had that allows me to take on the challenges of an independent film and know that I can hack it.
Yeah. So find a feature.
Yeah.
I'll be here if you need me.
I'll come a calling.
Thanks, Vinny. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much,
Carlo.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, that's right.